800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman as we're talking about what's going on in the world today. And, of course, what you're seeing is a total collapse of the world financial system, probably far worse in Europe than it is over here in the United States. And even George Soros has said that the whole financial structure of the world is breaking down. Certainly here, while we're talking, you know, about as many as 7 million homes going into forfeiture in the next couple of years. And what's the government going to do? Why are they talking about putting up $250 or $275 billion to counteract what's going on? That's like putting salt in the ocean. If they'd wanted to do something, they could have done it back in October before things got out of hand, but they didn't. They specifically have not addressed the issue of the collapse of the home price and the foreclosures, because they don't want to solve the problem. After all, if they solve the problem, how would they bring it into international financial order? And, of course, how would they impoverish the American people? Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, thanks so very much for being with us.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure.
Tell us.
It has been for many years.
Well, Bob,
and, you know, I don't know what to do as a postscript to that. I mean, you really covered that pretty good.
Well,
and, the genesis of the problem, the basis, the nexus, which is that the collapse. The question is, when do they want it?
Well,
and I don't know that they know right now, and we'll know when they know. I think they want to put their war in place, wider war. And I think when that's done, I think they'll finally pull the plug. I see they're trying to continue to send more and more money to the banks to make sure that they're, quote, really loaded with dough, so to speak, so that they'll survive, and the deals that are being made are preposterous. I mean, assuming for Citigroup $300 billion in losses that they've got, I mean, the whole thing is absolutely incredible.
Well, I don't think it's just coincidence that the people who control Citibank just happen to be members of the Trilateral Commission, or the people who control Goldman Sachs happen to be members of the Trilateral Commission, or the people who control J.P. Morgan Chase happen to be members of the Trilateral Commission, or members of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Board. And there are only 87 people there in the North American chapter or Americans, and yet they seem to have total stranglehold on the banking here in the United States and through their other members of the banks throughout the world, the central banks of the world. And most people have no idea this little cabal has been controlling the monetary system of our nation for the better part of a century.
Well, that's true. And the membership in those different organizations sticks out like a sore thumb. As you mentioned many times before, the Group of 30 and the Bilderbergers, and now we have the World Economic Forum, which has been rolling around for about the last 10 years, and where they all get together to make plans to find different ways to enslave us. But this is what it's all about, and we want people to realize exactly what's being done to them, because they're not going to be told on national radio and television or in the press or what's left of the press. The Philadelphia Inquirer went out of business today. And before long, there won't be many, if any, newspapers at all.
Well, of course, since they really are conduits for misinformation, and we'll get the best information from reliable sources on the Internet, I don't really have any regrets, because most of these are corrupt organizations that have betrayed the trust of the American people. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. I guess this afternoon is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, and we're talking about what's going on in the world. Well, let me tell you what's going on in the world. The whole financial system of the entire world is collapsing. And, of course, things are even worse in Europe than they are here in the United States. But don't you worry. Just wait a little while, and this whole system is going to keep tumbling down. Of course, it's one of the greatest transfers of wealth from the good people of this country to the financial elite. And, of course, they are going to, of course, end up with all the wealth. And, of course, what they're going to do is destroy the value of our currency. They know exactly what they're doing. There's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency. The wealthy, of course, understand that fiat money eventually goes to its true value, which is zero. And they're going to leave the American people holding their pension funds and holding their insurance policies and holding their annuities and holding their 401k plans and holding their bonds and holding their stocks. And one day they will find that they're worthless. And this, of course, is happening, and it's happening with such rapidity. Well, Bob, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Switzerland. I've heard some rumors that even Switzerland, which has certainly traditionally been an area that was very, very stable, even Switzerland is having trouble because they lent so much money to Eastern Europe, and the Eastern Europeans can't repay it. What's going on?
Well, I think what is going to happen is that a number of countries are going to have foreclosure on their real estate, which is where most of the loans were made. Like in Poland, the zloty has dropped about 50%, and so people are hard pressed to make their payments that were denominated in Swiss francs.
But
so there's two sides to this.
But the Swiss
on the long term, it's not good. On the short term, it's not that bad, because as the loans are foreclosed upon, the local currency will be paid to those who purchase the property after foreclosure. And that will be then taken by the Swiss lender and converted to Swiss francs. And that's going to cause, on the short term at least, the Swiss franc to be strong. I think that no matter what happens, that the Swiss National Bank will back the lenders' banks. They have to. They certainly don't have any choice. And Austria is far worse off. Germany made a fair amount of loans as well.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Bob is just telling us about what's going on over Europe. Apparently, people in Eastern Europe, you know, had actually borrowed a lot of money. People wanted to buy a house, so they could borrow money. They could buy it over in Switzerland in Swiss francs. They borrowed in Swiss francs, but of course they paid for it in Polish currency. And then, so they've got a nice house, you know, but of course then, as the value of their currency falls, and they've got to make the payment not in their own currency, let's say they owed 100,000, whatever it would be, they've got to make it in Swiss francs, which now is going to cost them twice or three times as much as the value of their currency. So a lot of these people are in real trouble, and this is very prevalent in Eastern Europe as well, isn't it?
It is, and that's where the problem's coming from. And I believe that I think, first of all, in Western Europe, that Germany or France are going to have to, they're going to be forced to, come to the aid of Ireland, Portugal, and Spain. And they're probably going to have to come to the aid of Eastern Europe as well.
And how about Italy? I understand Italy is almost a basket case.
Yeah, well, Italy's close, but they're not as bad as the other three. Actually, Portugal's not that bad, but Spain and Ireland are just terrible. And, of course, England's close to being a basket case. Their problems are probably five times worse than what the U.S. is, which means the euro is probably going to remain under pressure. And the Western European nations, somebody is going to have to come to the aid or make some sort of an arrangement with the Eastern European countries. Now, it's either that or they all go under.
Well, my understanding is that the German central bank is saying, well, you know, since we've guaranteed, you know, because people, a lot of people down the, well, years ago were saying, well, we get into this European Union and they bring in Eastern Europe, we're going to get end up being stuck with all of their loans and all their problems. And, oh, the internationalists who controlled, Germany said, oh, that would never happen, nothing to worry about. But now it's all going to come to pass, sure looks like. What do you think?
Well, I think that all their lies are going to come home to roost, and they are going to be forced to make the people pay for the bankers' mistakes in Eastern Europe. And I think what you see is moratoriums and things of that sort until they can sort it out. But somewhere along the line, Stan, what's going to happen is even if they come to their aid, they're still going to collapse. So anything that they do might put it off 2 or 3 years or more. But in the final analysis, it's all going down, just like it is in the United States and Canada and other countries that have borrowed voraciously, particularly in real estate. You go to countries like Chile and Argentina, Brazil, Mexico. People pay cash for their houses. They very seldom borrow. Maybe 1% might borrow to buy a home. And that's it. So they're not going to have those kinds of problems. They are going to be hurt because of the lack of trade that's going to go from those countries to the United States and Europe. And, of course, China's going to get hurt very badly because they're exporters. And so, you know, it's going to be all over the place. And that's why in the final analysis, the best place to be is in gold and silver-related assets. If you're not there, you don't have any protection.
Well, certainly gold certainly looked very, very good. The end of last week, it was up over $1,000, backed off a little this morning. I think we would have closed, what, $9.94, something like that. And silver was up, I don't know, 15 or 20 cents, up over $14.50. But it looks like, these things are going to begin to move and move rapidly, just like you've been saying.
Well, I just got the numbers in, and the stocks were off slightly on average, the gold and silver stocks, but the price of gold actually, I think, did extraordinarily well. And the reason I say that is that we were off $22, and gold was off 7-8, whatever it was, and it's interesting, my prices get cut off. Let's see here, gold was down 560 at 994.60, and silver was down 5 pennies at 1444. The outside month was down a little bit more than that, but that's an extremely thin market, and not a lot of pressure can be put on gold or silver as far as what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'll tell you why it's good. It was off $22 and it came back. And, you know, there was no reason for it to come back. I mean, it had a good run, and you would have thought that, you know, we might lose $10 or $20 or $30 in the price. And, you know, that didn't happen. We had gold off 960 in the April month, which is $4 more on the downside. But that's to be expected. I mean, you know, this is not a situation where something goes up parabolically forever. There are, you know, little corrections along the way, sometimes as big ones. And, I mean, gold could go back to 950, but I don't think so. Not after today's action.
Well,
I mean, even if it was off $4 or $5 tomorrow, so what?
Well, it looks to me like
we told people to be long-term investors.
Well, it looks to me like people all throughout the world are getting into gold because they've realized that the paper currencies of the world are going to collapse at this time. You can't.
Well, I think you're right.
And we were reading about Dubai. Apparently, Dubai is, you know, remember a year ago we were reading about Dubai. It was almost like a Cinderella story, and they were building all these islands and building the tallest building in the world. They were going to become a commercial center for the Persian Gulf, and now they're having to beg, you know, for people to help finance them. The construction is stopped, you know, people have stopped moving there. A lot of people are trying to get out of their homes, and they're canceling the contracts. Dubai looks like maybe
for another 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years. Why tie up the capital when you can rent? You don't need the headache, especially if you're in your 60s. It's dumb. I mean, you buy gold and silver and sit on it, and if gold goes to 2,000 and silver goes to 50 bucks, you made a lot of money. You can pay cash for the house.
Well, I think that we're really at a time unparalleled, anything I can remember in my 80 years of living, and I lived through the Great Depression, and I can remember the poverty we had then. The only thing, reason we're not having such a bad time now is they've got, you know, they've got the safety net, they've got this unemployment insurance, they've lengthened that out. You don't live very well, but at least you can live, and they've got food stamps, and they've got free medical care and all of these things, but they've all got to be paid for. And nobody's ever asked where President Obama is going to get this, you know, $787 billion for this new so-called stimulus bill, which is really nothing but plain old socialism and a lot of perks. And I think maybe 10% of it has to do with construction, but it's going to provide a lot of jobs over in China and Mexico and elsewhere, because Obama is not going to support the Buy American provision voted on by our legislature almost 100%. He said, yes, buy American, as long as it goes along with our laws, which require us to.
Today, for the president to say that he's going to have all of these programs and he's going to reduce the budget deficit. You know, you got to be kidding me. I mean, how dumb does he think people are? And I'm talking about the average person in America who's probably got an average IQ. Perhaps 110. They know what's going on.
No, Bob, the average IQ is 100 because you got a parabolic curve. The top of the curve is 100. So the average IQ is 100, but that's all right. I mean, you can have less than 100 and you can still be a lot smarter than some of the people who graduated from college because you got a lot of common sense you need to survive. Well, it's just like the same thing. The president says, you know, we're going to have openness in government. And then what do they do? Why? Of course, they pass all laws so people won't know what's going on. And they said, we're going to get the lobbyists out of government, and then he was going to bring in, you know, Tom Daschle, who was a lobbyist, and Emanuel, Ron Emanuel, I believe, is the chief of staff there. He was a lobbyist. So they bring all these lobbyists into government. They say one thing, and they do exactly the opposite. And the American people cannot believe. They hear what they want to hear, and they never watch what the president is doing. And it's not just Obama. This is what Ronald Reagan did. He was against big deficits. He gave us the biggest deficits we've ever had. He was against raising taxes. He gave us the biggest tax increase in 1986 the American people have ever had, and nobody ever talks about it. Nobody even knows. We'll be right back.
He wiped out 8 million millionaires.
Right ahead there.
Ronald Reagan wiped out 8 million millionaires with the Tax Reform Act of 1986.
Right.
They had followed the rules on the tax shelters, and they just changed all the rules arbitrarily. There was no grandfathering, and people who had you know, 1.1 or 1.2 to 1 leverage, which is virtually nothing. They were wiped out. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the presidency of Reagan was a disaster. I mean, he did everything the Illuminati told him to do.
Well, I'm sure he didn't want to take another bullet like the one he got from the son of one of George Bush's very close friends. What are the chances are that the assassin, the man who tried to kill Ronald Reagan, would be the son of a close friend of George Bush? George Bush, who was the vice president?
10 million to 1.
Go right ahead.
10 million to 1.
Right. Well, I would like to think of it might be 300 million to one, you know, because that's about the size of the population.
But
it should be pretty small. Right, but maybe
it's not such thing as coincidence.
Right. Well, anyway, Chris, Bob, you know, certainly I was surprised at the statement by George Soros talking about how terrible things were. And Paul Volcker is saying, really, the whole house of cards is coming down. Have you been following that?
Yeah, I have. And I mentioned it in the Forecaster, which is coming out on Wednesday. George Soros is a disinformation expert for the Illuminis, and he has tremendous amounts of money, billions, which, whenever called upon, he just shoots them right over to the spot that they want him at. And so George is big time one of them. And so George will come out and say things which we know are true, things that you and I would say, so no one listens to you and I, they only listen to George.
Oh, I think that's so very true. In fact, I thought it was so interesting that this past week, Zbigniew Brzezinski gave a talk, you know, on a video, and it's up on YouTube, or at least on Google, where he's talking about civil unrest, civil strife in this country, class warfare, the system of government breaking down. He almost sounds like he'd read some of the material that you and I have been talking about.
Well, what they're trying to do is justify the movement of American troops, both National Guard Reserve and regular army, into our cities and towns and searching missions, supposedly looking for drug dealers or illegal arms vendors or something like this, like they recently tried to do but were stopped. And they're preparing the people to see troops in the street every day. Many countries are doing it right now. And that's a conditioning process. And, you know, I look at these young kids running around with these M16s. And I got to tell you something. There's millions of veterans in the United States, many of whom haven't forgotten what they learned in the military. And if they're going to send these children out to round people up, they either are not going to round them up, or they're not going to shoot an American citizen.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just talking about you can find it up on the Internet. It's Zbigniew Brzezinski. Remember Zbigniew Brzezinski, the founder of the Trial After Commission, the man, of course, who toppled the Shah of Iran when he was the National Security Advisor, brought Saddam Hussein to power, laid the foundation for the Afghan War and Al-Qaeda and the World Terrorist Movement. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a foreign policy advisor to both President Carter and, of course, to President-elect Obama. And Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of the leading internationalists and conspirators in the world, and he is a conspiracy, he's kind of a conspiracy, to bring about a one-world government. But he goes on television, and he's talking about civil unrest in the United States. And you've got to see this up on the Internet. If you have a computer, you can pull it down. I believe we've linked to that on our website at radioliberty.com, and it should be a reference to it. But here's Zygmunt Brzezinski actually talking, you know, about the fact that you're going to see class warfare in America. You're going to see the breakdown of our society. And why doesn't, you know, Robert Rubin and Henry Paulson have got so much money do something about it? Well, you know, Chris, they're both members of the Council on Foreign Relations, as is Zygmunt Brzezinski. If Zygmunt Brzezinski really wants to do something, why doesn't he get David Rockefeller, whose family has countless trillions of dollars, you know, salted away throughout the world? Why doesn't he have them do something about it? But he never talks about that. It's just the small fry like Henry Rubin. He's hardly got $1 billion. Go right ahead.
Well, there's only one goal that they're after, no matter, you know, which way they go about it. And they get their straw men up front who, in fact, are part of their group, but they are financially and politically and psychologically expendable. And so, you know, the Rubens of this world will do anything to become big shots. And that's what they've done, and they get millions and millions of dollars, and they have no compunction about how they got it. They're criminals, they're thieves. And I think they're just getting the public ready and trying to bait them into having violent civil unrest. And I don't think the public should rise to it. I noticed on Glenn Beck he was talking about the same thing. But I think it's an effort, especially in a major news channel, and you see people, three people in a row come out and say, there's going to be violence. You know it's planned. It's disinformation. What they want you to do is say, the bubbas out there are going to go get the government. When in fact the bubbas aren't trying to do anything, they're watching and waiting. Not that they're not capable of doing that. And they try to denigrate people demanding their constitutional rights by calling them, you know, ignorant bubbas. When in fact, most of the people who are thinking about insurrection in the United States have very high IQs. I promise you.
Well, I think the last lesson we need is insurrection. What we need to do is get people to understand our Constitution. This movement that we're seeing in a number of states, in four or five states, have actually said, if the federal government tries to declare martial law, we will secede from the Union because you are violating the Constitution. And certainly New Hampshire and Tennessee, and I've forgotten all the states, but there are about five of them now who have passed these resolutions. And we need to get this information out. We have a Constitution that the people in Congress, the people in the executive branch of government don't believe in our Constitution. They have broken their oath to uphold our Constitution, and people better understand what the Constitution says. There is no justification in our Constitution for using American troops against the American populace. It's against the law. They have the posse comitatus law. But we have people in our invisible government, which is the real group that runs, who do not believe in the Constitution. They hate freedom. And they want a totalitarian government in the United States. And they're even building the concentration camps and the detention camps. If you doubt that, you need to get our material on the planned police state or on concentration camps. You can actually see the pictures of them. Talk to the people. Hear the congressman talking about the plan in case of a national emergency to arrest American citizens and put them in concentration camps. And what's the solution? We've got to get enough Americans who understand what's going on and get the people in the military and the police to want to uphold our Constitution, or it will, freedom will simply soon become a remembrance of things past. They have their agent provocateurs planted at every level of our government, in my opinion. It could be your person who's one of your best friends who's saying, oh my goodness, we've got to have armed insurrection against the government, and he's going to be recording exactly what you say. We have a nation of informants. People don't understand that. And they've done this with me on several occasions. You know, even on try to shoot a video and get me to say things that would make me susceptible for arrest, just as they've gotten so many of the, well, poor, stupid, and I have to say that foolish Muslims to make all sorts of plans. And they're coaxed into planning revolution by FBI informants. Well, Bob, so the, as you're talking to people all across America, what do you get the tone of people? Do people really realize how bad, how dangerous, how frightening things are?
Well, I think a lot of people are waking up, and a lot more are going to. Stan, our message is getting out. It's getting out all over the world. We are picking up subscribers. We've always had them, but there's so many more coming in, particularly from Europe, but everywhere, South America, Asia, and people are saying, you know, there's something terrible wrong out there, and now we understand what it is. So we are getting to people. Can we get it to enough people fast enough to make them understand and make them act the way that they should?
Well, I don't know. That is really going to be the question, but at least we have a voice now, and I know you have a very loud voice. You're on a lot of radio programs, or my friends' radio programs across America, getting the information out. Now, what about gold and silver stocks at the present time? Certainly, what about something like Hecla? Is Hecla primarily a silver, or is that a gold at play as well?
No, it's both, and it's got a New York listing, so it's attractive from that viewpoint. And I hope they keep it. It's not one of my stocks that I find exciting, but it's a good company. The same with Coeur d'Alene. The ones I like, as you know, are Agnico Eagle, Gold Corp, and Silver Standard. I think it covers what needs to be covered. And what I mean by that, plenty of gold and silver. And from time to time, every couple of years, I recommend a speculation. And but I think that there are not very many companies that you can choose from anymore. They either have to have too many shares outstanding, or they're in undesirable places in the world, such as Africa, which is very, very volatile. Some countries in South America, China, and so, you know, you've got to see where they're doing their mining, and you know, nothing is sacrosanct today. There are many, many, you know, facets to look at, and so you've got to be careful what you recommend, and that's why I keep it, you know, down to three stocks.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And Bob, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get the copy of the International Forecaster and subscribe to it if they wanted to?
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually runs around 35 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. If you'd like to get a free copy, you can do it any one of three ways. You can go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com, or you can email us at international_forecaster@yahoo.com. That's international_forecaster@yahoo.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or if you're here in the Central Coast of California, wire the numbers at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Well, you know, I would think this would be a very, very poor time to be speculating in any sort of a mining stock, you know. Certainly, the markets are really so uncertain, even if it's gold and silver. I would certainly be adverse to speculating in much of anything.
Well, the only other place you've got to go is to gold and silver bullion and coin. and except for numismatics, they go up one for one. The only place you can get any leverage is in the stocks. And so I tell people to do both. And that gives them a marriage, and they assume as much risk as they want to in the stocks.
Now, what about coins, gold coins that are AU or very fine? Are they better than just a regular old $20 gold piece?
No. No, they're different. And they're different in the fact that they're not mint state, they're not graded, and they've been carried around in somebody's pocket for some years. And in the business, they're called sliders. And all they are is coins that we should be selling at the same price as any other bullion coin, like an American Eagle or a Krugerrand or a Maple Leaf. And when you go to sell them, they usually don't bring as much as the other known bullion coins. And in going in, the dealers mark them up more. So they're not the investment that most dealers cut them out to be. I think that people who are interested should buy bullion coins such as the ones I mentioned. And if you're going to get into pre-33 U.S. coins, then I would go to graded coins. In just the last couple of weeks, they've gone up 20%. And actually more than that, but a little bit more. 22 to be exact. And I, from years ago, when we started Stan, I told people to buy numismatics because that's where the big gains would be in that genre, so to speak. And that's what's happened.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, you're out there in the listening audience. The number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Of course, General Motors is demanding more money. Chrysler is demanding more money. Now, Chrysler is controlled by a private financial company, Cerberus, I think is its title, and they've got plenty of money. But why should they put up their money when they can get it from the United States? General Motors has divisions all throughout the world. It's just opened its eighth plant over in communist China. It's opened its major plant in Moscow and another one in Brazil going along with all their other plants. But why should they, you know, pay for things here when they can get the American people to give them money? And this is the hypocrisy. Isn't it amazing that the American media is not saying that when General Motors is going into Congress with hat in hand pleading, oh, if you don't, you know, give us money, why we're going to go down and we're going to have to go into bankruptcy and all the people are going to lose their jobs and then all the other people whose suppliers are going to lose their jobs? Why don't they tell us about the plant over in Russia, the eighth plant in China, the new plant opening in Brazil, and they're not going to do that because it's all a scam and we're going to transfer our wealth. General Motors has been part of this whole world, you know, banking cabal from going back to the 1930s, and you can get those charts on the Federal Reserve back then. You'll find that many of our major corporations all controlled by these same people. And why should they put up the money when the American taxpayers are going to put it up for them? Well, let's go to Tony, calling from Spokane. And I'm sure, of course, when they pay it back, if they do ever pay it back, it'll be in worthless dollars. And, of course, the American people will simply been defrauded once again. Well, Tony, good to hear from you from Spokane. How are things going up there?
Happy late birthday.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. Tony used to live in Santa Cruz here, so I know who he is. Well, tell us, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, I do. I kind of look at the ratio between the price of gold and the Dow. And back when the Dow was around 12,000, the ratio was about 42 ounces of gold to buy the Dow. And as of today, it's down to about 7. Now, Richard Russell has been talking about there being a 1-to-1 ratio for a long time, like there was back in, I believe, 1982. It appears to me we are getting close to a 1-to-1 ratio here, maybe at around the 3,000 point. And I'm wondering what you think about that, and if you think this might be somewhere where it even goes way beyond that.
Well, before we go on, Sidney, I think let me explain to the listeners what Richard Russell said was that the
I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right, fine. Was that the price of gold would cross the price of the Dow? In other words, the gold would rise to $3,000 or $4,000 an ounce, and the Dow Jones would drop to $3,000 or $4,000 an ounce. He made that prediction back in 1980, and it happened, and he's making that prediction again. The Dow is going to drop precipitously, gold is going to rise dramatically, and of course the people who are waiting for the stock market to come back are in for a terrible disappointment. So what are your thoughts on that, Bob?
The Dow's going to 4,000, and that's if we're lucky. And gold's going to go through the roof. And quite frankly, I don't watch the ratios because I look at fundamentals.
Right.
And that's what's carried me through all the years, almost 50, that I've been involved. And I think it'll continue, especially now in these times, since 1988, that our government has been manipulating all markets every day, and it's very hard to use ratios or charts or waves or cycles. It's just put them all out of whack because, you know, you don't know where it's all coming from at any given time.
Of course,
it could be the government doing what it's doing.
Of course, I would certainly suggest that we really have to look at it. As I mentioned before, we have two governments. We have a visible government, the legitimate government of this country, which is run by our elected representatives, and then an invisible government. This is the CFR, Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, who don't go by our laws. There are about 5,000 of the little cabal having a totally different agenda. They're using the financial and military power of the United States to actually pursue their agenda, which is a one-world government and a one-world financial order and a one-world currency and a one-world religion. And they're innovated by dark and sinister spiritual forces. They've always been here. And, of course, they do not go by our laws. They don't obey our laws. People like Mr. Timothy Geithner, you know, he just didn't bother to pay his income tax. You and I tried to do that. We go to prison. Tom Daschle, he didn't pay his income tax. So many of the people that President Obama wanted to appoint, why they were crooks or into all sorts of dishonest activities. But nothing's going to be done to them. You know, well, you pay up your money, you know, and do a little slap on the wrist and a good hug on the back. We have a two-tiered system, a visible government and then an invisible elite government that does not abide by the laws of this land. So it's that government that's manipulating our stock market, not the government that I adhere to, that it was established by our Constitution to provide our freedom, but that government is being progressively eroded by the people who don't believe in freedom. They believe in rule by the by an elite, the noblesse oblige concepts. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest, Bob Chapman from the International Forecast. If you have a question, don't be bashful. We'd love to hear from you. So you really feel the stock market's going to drop a lot more. What did it do today? I noticed it started out up, then it turned down, and where did it end up today?
Well, at 3:30 this morning, it was up 79 points, and the S&P was up 85 equivalent points, and 81 equivalent points for the NASDAQ. Well, we ended up on the day, 13 hours later, at a minus 251 for the Dow, a minus 241 for the S&P, and a minus 321 for the NASDAQ. There is a good Dow equivalent numbers. And so it was really a bad day. It was right after the opening, the market went down. It seems to me, I think, that the government has stepped out of the market and they're going to let it fall to where they want it to fall to next. And next is probably 6,000 to 6,600, somewhere down in there. And we may see 5,000 to 6,000 before the year is out. And next year, I think we'll see 4,000. And that's going to be really devastating for people, particularly with retirement.
And for so many of my friends, you know, in the stock market, their whole pension fund was in there. Their retirement funds were in the stock market. And, of course, it lost 40, 45%. and they continue losing, and it sounds like to me they're going to lose another 30 or 40% before this is over.
I would agree to that, and it's not only those retirement plans, it's those insurance policies and other financial institutions who are deeply involved in the market on a long-term basis. They keep on telling people it's going to be okay, it'll come back. Yeah, but you know, from what level? You know, you have to be in a bull market to buy and hold. And, you know, I've got people saying, well, you know, should I leave my job and cash out my policy, my retirement, because if I leave, they're going to take it away from me and I get 2 years to retire. Well, you know, if you get $40,000 or $50,000 in there, I'd stay in it. If you've got, like I've run into, anywhere between $600,000 and $2 million, I quit the job and take the money out. You know, we picked the top of the market at 14,000, and very few people did. We picked it in 2000 in April at the top as well. And, you know, most people aren't listening. They can't believe it. I have financial advisors say to subscribers who's followed what we've told them to do, and they say, well, how do you do that? How do you know what to do? To buy stocks that go up when the market goes down and you're out of the market so you're not losing. Well, it's common sense.
Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've got Rod calling from Scotts Valley. Hi, Rod. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question for you on where you guys are assessing the banking, where banking's at right now. I've talked with people about, you know, their plans in the near future to do financing and get funded. And these are people that I care about, and I feel a little leery that they're kind of pinging on time here.
People are going to be going out trying to borrow money from the banks or borrowing money from some fund for some sort of commercial venture?
Real estate, funding properties.
All right, fine. What do you think about borrowing money to buy real estate right now, Bob?
Suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too.
And I think so that's all three of us thinking exactly the same thing. You should not be investing in this market because it's got a long way down to go. We're seeing the destruction of the financial system of the United States. And there are people who think that the game's, you know, just going to be played as it always has been in the past. Well, it's going to be a long, long time. People have to understand this is a long time in the making. The people who control the accessibility to credit control what's happening in the market, whether it goes up or down. And I'm talking about not necessarily the stock market, but the commercial markets, everything. And they've decided to contract our money supply and destroy the financial stability of our nation. This is what they're doing, not only here, but throughout the rest of the world. I mean, mm-hmm. The rest of the world is simply collapsing. People don't understand how bad it is in Russia, in Eastern Europe, in Western Europe, and in Great Britain. And this thing is happening throughout the world. People think that it's going to get better, just wait. Well, they may have to wait, you know, another 20 to 50 years.
Yeah.
And it may never get better. They may simply go ahead with their plan to destroy this nation and merge us into a one-world government and raise our living standards to that of the Chinese peasant.
Hmm.
Anything else, Rod?
Well, one last additional question. Bob, do you think there's any chance that you'd ever get interviewed by George or Art on Coast to Coast? Or where are those guys coming from?
Well, Coast to Coast has deliberately kept me off the programs there for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know the reason why. I talked to them recently. And they gave me a runaround, and there's certainly many, many people they have on those programs that are totally unqualified to talk about the things that I talk about. And so there's something wrong, and I don't know what it is, but they won't let me on the air.
Don't feel bad, Bob. They won't let me on either. So
maybe you don't fit into the ecumenical movement.
Maybe not. Anyway, God bless, Bob Rod. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Manny, who's calling from Soledad, California. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Manny. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Thank you. How are you, gentlemen?
No complaints. You have any questions for our guest?
I wanted to ask Bob if he could talk a little about silver as far as what investments. And they talked about eagles. Does he have any recommendation as opposed to, let's say, rounds or bars? Or could you just kind of address that a bit?
Well, I try to stay out of bars. If I go to bars, I'll get in trouble. That's a joke. But anyway,
so it's probably
I'm not big on rounds and bars. I think
legal tender, maybe?
One of the important things about silver is that they make coins out of silver. And I've always been a big fan of 90% silver coins. They're one of the cheapest ways to buy coins. And I'm a big proponent of that method. And I like the silver eagles, but I think they're a little bit more expensive to buy, but I'd buy them both. I'm not a participant in numismatic silver, such as the silver dollars that are for numismatic purposes. They go up in fits and starts. I own some rolls, and I mean they sat there for like 4 or 5 years and did nothing, and other things were moving up.
Hold that thought for All right. Anything else you want to say, Manny, before we let you go?
Yeah. Do you feel the same way about silver rounds?
All right, fine. Let's go to... silver rounds. What do you think of silver rounds, Bob?
They're okay. I just rather would buy the silver coins, the 90% coins, and the American Eagles.
All right, the rounds are usually pretty close to 100% silver, you know, pure silver. There's simply different plays on the silver market. I think it's 6-1, half a dozen of the other ones. You get a few of each, okay?
Okay, hey,
okay, let's go to Vernon calling from Salinas. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. My question is it too late to get out of America before all of this collapse, and what would be a good country to go to? I know that Canada is not good to go to, and Mexico for sure is not good to go to, or Europe. What would be a good country to go to?
What would you tell him, Vernon?
You've got Australia, Chile and Uruguay, Panama, Costa Rica, and if you're away from the border in Mexico, and some of the other places that have been hot. There's plenty of places to live in Mexico that they haven't had problems in. So it still is a destination if one wants to be close to the United States for whatever reason.
Okay, there's your answer. But, of course, the battle for the survival of civilization is going to be here. You're going to have to decide what you want to do. I understand how you feel, Laverne. God bless. And let's go to Rochelle calling from Idaho. Hi, Rochelle. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing fine. I'm glad to hear you're on the air at this time. I'm waiting to hear Michael Savage, and there's nobody else on.
Well, listen, you can hear us every day at this time if you're there in Idaho and you're listening to the Spokane station that carries us from 4 to 5 every day.
Very good. And I do recommend myself that any coins should be recognizable so people can trade them without having to have them valued at some coin shop.
Good thought. Okay. Anything else, Rochelle?
Yes. I wanted to know what would happen if people aren't able, not only not want to, but just aren't able to pay their taxes. The government wouldn't be able to take any more of our money. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, it is a possibility.
If you can't pay it just because you don't have it.
Well, I think that the government is pretty unreasonable when it comes to taking your property. They really don't care. They either take your property or put you in jail.
That's right, but they do give you a couple years at least. I mean, 1 year of no taxes, the government would really go bankrupt.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Shopping. Okay, fine. Well, we have Rochelle calling from Idaho. Ask what's going to happen if you don't pay your property taxes. Anything, your thoughts on that, Bob?
Did she say property taxes?
Property taxes.
No, I mean income taxes.
Oh, income taxes. Oh, well, then.
Yeah, something that will hurt the government in the pocket like they're hurting us.
Well, if you don't have any property that they can take, there's not really too much they can do at this point. And
right.
So, you know, they can attach your pay, but if you don't work or you don't work on the books for somebody, then there's
a lot
not
of
too much they can do.
No,
there are about 30 million wage earners in the United States are owners of businesses who don't even file.
Correct.
Well, of course, right now, of course, we have 7 million Americans either in prison, probation, or parole. We have more people per capita in prison than any other nation in the world. So I would certainly not play games with them, Rochelle.
No, these are not nice people. I don't think we should either. However, I'm just looking at the scenario. If people are not able to pay their taxes, their income taxes...
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of people are going to be in that position.
That would be a legal thing, you know, and maybe the next year they could pay them. But 1 year of no taxes, the government would bankrupt the people that are bankrupt United States.
Very interesting thought. And you could always get an extension. Just keep getting extensions. And you can do that legally. Hey, we're out of time, Rochelle. God bless. And
thank you.
Thanks
so
very much.
Program.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, Bob, we're out of time. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you tonight.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Bob Chapman. We're trying to keep you abreast of what's going on. And believe me, the whole financial system is collapsing. And people are going to have to, you know, begin to understand what's going on and begin, of course, to make provisions to look after themselves and their families. If you haven't laid in a supply of long-range storage food, why, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you a catalog. This food that will last for up to 7 years or so. And then you need something, maybe a Berkey water filter, so you'll have potable water. You certainly want to lay in a supply of health products, the various vitamins and minerals that you can keep. And, of course, you'd want to keep them in the refrigerator. They'll last much longer that way. We actually take large doses of vitamin D and alibiotic, which is a combination of a number of herbs and spices there, coming down with a cold, so I keep on every day here when everybody else is getting sick. If you'd like the information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You certainly would want to get our new book on the Money Creators, written back in 1935, going into the background of how this whole fraudulent system was set up and how they, of course, during the Great Depression, intentionally contracted the money supply and created the problems exactly as they're doing today. And, of course, basically, of course, it is the big banks which are in on this. They're just not loaning money. In fact, the banks that actually got all these massive loans from the federal government under the TARP program, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, they cut back on their lending. Why? Well, because Henry Paulson, who gave them the money, just forgot to tell them they were supposed to lend the money. Remember, Henry Paulson's part and parcel of this. He was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. They're tied into the Trilateral Commission. He himself is a member. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, people who wrote the TARP legislation, they just forgot to tell Henry Paulson he had to spend the money over to bail out the housing industry, as he promised. Just forgot, just accidentally. It was written by a man named Congressman Barney Frank, just happens to be a member of the same little clique, the Council on Foreign Relations. You can check all of this on the Internet. Or it's never going to be putting out the list that you can have them. You can't tell the players unless you have a program, and we do have one excellent one. It's called Who's Who in the Elite, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you want a up-to-date list of the American members of the Trilateral Commission, and you order Who's Who in the Elite,